Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Parenting with Sisu. Today, Eleonora and I are talking about one topic that feels very important, but is often a bit left out here in Finland. It's car seat safety. We will be talking about the laws and recommendations here in Finland, why rear tracing saves lives, and what are the most common myths regarding car seat safety among parents. Hi, Eleonora. This is a topic that's very important to you. Do you want to let the listeners know how you got so deep into the topic and are so passionate about this?
Yeah, how I got obsessed with car seat safety. That's a very odd thing to be obsessed with. But when our older son was born, I wasn't into this at all. I didn't know much about it. I was like, okay, we need some car seat. And for the baby, and okay, we're just going to buy some that looks nice and that's easy to install. But I didn't think much more about it. And then when deciding to buy the second seat when he grew out of his baby seat, I came across this Facebook group called Car Seats for the Littles. I linked it here in the blog. And I got a lot of information from that group, and everything that I learned about car seats, or not everything, but the majority in the beginning, was from that group. The group is administered by car seat professionals, so they go actually through education back in the UK. And because in the UK they have these car safety centers, which we don't have in Finland, unfortunately. So they have really, really a lot of knowledge on car seats overall and everything that you would need to know or want to know. So I started kind of reading this group every now and then, and I started to be really interested. So I did some more research, and then I just kind of got obsessed with it and trying to get people to understand why it's so important and what are some hazardous things that people do and that they didn't even know they're doing and so on. But I'm going to talk about that a bit later.
Yeah. So why is it? I mean, you can probably guess that it's definitely very important, but what are the numbers? Why is it so important, and what exactly is important?
So first of all, if we just think of road traffic accidents, they're actually the leading cause of child mortality in Europe. And the most common causes are the children are positioned facing the road too soon, so facing forward. The model of the seat is not suited to the child, to the size of the child. And third one is that the seat is poorly installed. And this actually concerned over 70% of the seats. And I also read recently that there was in Finland a few years ago, the police did kind of like a random check on people that had car seats in. And about 70% of the seats were actually wrongly installed, which is really, really concerning.
Yeah, but then there's no place in Finland where you can go where they actually check this, right? In Germany, no. There are places, for example, where you can go and get the car seats checked if they are actually put properly. And in many stores that sell car seats, they actually do help you to install it as well.
Yeah, I heard here in Finland there is none like of these centers like there is in Germany, like I previously mentioned, in the UK. In the US, there's also centers, but also some firefighter stations usually check it. So it doesn't even have to be, you know, a resource for some centers or so. It can just be literally that you go to the fire station, or a few fire stations around the country have it, and you could go and get it checked. But I did recently hear that Lasten Turva does some kind of counseling on the seats, but I do not know how good it is. Because the problem is that a lot of these shops say, yeah, the people know really a lot about it, but then they don't.
Well, even though it's selling people.
It's they selling, exactly. Any, yeah, exactly. They don't usually have any kind of background in this kind of car seat safety, and it's really hard to know these things if you've never heard of them. So I'm not sure how they do it in Lasten Turva. It could actually be really interesting for me to go there and to check it out and report back if they're really doing a good job or not.
Yeah,
but that's going to be my like summer project maybe. But one thing that I also wanted to mention, because I hear from a lot of people when I talk about car seat safety that we're just driving around the corner, nothing's going to happen. The problem is that 70% of car accidents happen in a radius of 15 kilometers away from home. So just driving short to the store or going around to your parents' house, which is half an hour away, that's actually when most of the accidents happen. So you don't have to be traveling for 2 or 10 hours that it gets dangerous.
Mm. No, that's really interesting. I've also always been, since we didn't even own a car until very recently, thought that, yeah, we're not driving so much anyway. The chances that something happens is not that big. Of course, if something happens, the outcome is tragic. But I was also under the impression, yeah, probably nothing's gonna ever happen.
Yeah. Let's hope it won't.
Yeah,
that's what I always say. When I tell people about these things that I'm gonna mention here today, I don't. I'm not the bad person here. I want to just make people understand that this car seat safety isn't just an annoying thing, and that it does make sense. So if you already have a car seat, why not have a car seat that's actually going to save your kid's life?
Mm. Talking about sense, what are actually the laws and recommendations about car seats? Because that is regulated in Finland as well.
So the laws, first of all, the Finnish law says that children 135 centimeters and below must travel in car seats. There is different kinds of car seats. So for the older kids and the taller kids, there is just these kind of shells where they sit on top. It's not a proper car seat like you know it from the smaller kids, but they still have to have something and not just use the car, the kind of the car bench, yes. Then the second one is that this new UN standard became a law in 2019, and it is actually mandatory to install the car seats rear facing until at least the age of 15 months.
Oh, that's very new. Yeah.
It's new, but it's a thorn in my eye, and it's a thorn in everybody who knows anything about car seat safety. And it is something that I actually do not understand, and I am planning to contact this Finnish Road Safety Council, because I'm going to come to the recommendations later on, but there's one more law. So the car seats that are legal to be used in Finland are the ones that have the European approval standard. So the ECE R44, that European approval standard is also for some Asian seats, but usually not for US American or Australian seats.
Mm.
So if you come from the US, you definitely need a new seat here in Europe. But then to go forward to the recommendations, and this is something that was changed recently, and the Finnish Road Safety Council said that the safest way to transport a child is to seat them rear facing as long as possible, but at least until the child is 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I do not understand, because all the pediatricians around the world, all the road safety councils around the world, in the Western world, let's say like that, they agree that up to 4 years, the rear facing is the safest. So I do not understand why the law isn't that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I would really want to get to know, because they all agree. So why not put it as a law? Why just put it as a recommendation? That's something that I will never understand. And that's really something that I want to kind of try and figure out.
But for example, the law from 2019 that makes it compulsory to mm-hmm. put them rear facing until 15 months, that's already more than it used to be.
Yes.
Because I know that we changed them after nine, or like once they grew out of their baby seat.
Yeah, and 9 kilos is, I mean, honestly, a 6-month-old can be 9 kilos.
Yeah.
Heavy. Do you want to put a 6-month-old forward facing? No.
They can't even really sit.
Yeah. Yet.
Yeah, but what else? So until when should they sit, and what are the other recommendations?
So another recommendation is actually that what I mentioned is that the law is that they have to have a car seat until they're 135 centimeters, but the recommendation is actually until 150 or centimeters. Mm. That's also a difference that I just don't understand why if we see that it's better. Why aren't just the laws aligned with the recommendations? This is kind of like a gap, and it's not only in Finland.
Haven't we seen this in the past year, that it's not that easy to make
recommendations? Yes, but it's actually not only in Finland. This is a law that is across EU, that is also in the US, and I don't understand why. So that's kind of a big question mark for me, and something that I really want to get to know. But and as I already previously mentioned, the U.S. seats, so something more for our expats coming from the from overseas. EU car seats do not have a chest clip. There is also no need for them, because the straps are positioned differently inside of the seat, and the seats are overall a bit different. So that's also why it's not legal to use the seats that have not been tested and manufactured for the EU market. as our friend and co-podcaster Sarah told us, actually, in the US, they kind of focus more on the safety of how tightly they're strapped in and how properly they're strapped in. But then the chest clip makes it more difficult to release the child from the seat in an emergency. Mm-hmm. So then in the EU, they decided to do the seat a bit differently, the straps, so that there's no need for the chest clip, so that the child can be released from the seat quicker if there is a need.
Yes, and there are a lot of myths about car seats. What would you say are the most, or let's say top five myths?
I would say the first one, definitely that people think that car seats do not expire. So actually car seats have a lifespan. Usually there is either a manufacturing date or kind of like a end date for the seat on the seat itself. It's next to this sticker or on the sticker that says that it's EU approved or that it has this European standard. And if you can't find it or if you're not sure, you can always contact the car seat manufacturer. They actually, all of the car seat manufacturers have really good customer service. Mm. People don't usually use it, but they're actually very good and can send you even more details if you have problems installing it and so on. So that's definitely the first one. Then the second one, something that I also did not know when our first son was born and that I thought, is that using a seat belt to install the baby car seat, that it's not as safe as using Isofix and overall car seats. This is not true. They're as safe. The installing without Isofix is as safe if it's done correctly. For some seats, it is true that the installation is maybe a bit more complicated, but you have to do it once. Really rarely do you have to kind of take the seat out if it's in your car and put it back in and so on. But even that, it's very rare. It's not as complicated. Of course, it has a few more steps than just clicking the Isofix in. Mm. But that's about it. It shouldn't... I know that a lot of people are scared of it, including me. I used to be really scared of it. But it's really not a big deal. So
Isofix is just easier.
Isofix is just easier and it's actually more expensive. That's why a lot of seats are very expensive, because of Isofix. Mm. So you can get really, really good quality seats for actually much less money if you don't use Isofix. Mm. And Isofix is only until 18 kilos. So that is why you're never going to see extended rear-facing seat or a front-facing seat with Isofix. Mm. There is now one new seat that goes until 23 kilos, but it's ridiculous price. I think it was something like 800 euros. Okay. And it's totally not worth the price. There is a... Yeah, totally not worth it. So don't get kind of cheated by the Isofix and that you pay much more for something that you really don't have to pay for. Mm. One more thing that came to my mind, especially when I think of Finland, when driving in the winter to shopping centers and so on or wherever, I see so many parents having the kids in the bulky winter holidays, like overalls and outside wear in the car seats. This is a huge, huge no-go. It is completely unsafe. The thing is very simple. When you strap them in the bulky gear, you don't strap them as tight as you could without the gear. So if you're in an accident, the straps are not as tight as they're supposed to be, and they're not going to hold your child in the seat as they should. So it's actually the same for adults. So adults shouldn't wear bulky jackets either. So if in the winter, we have the like everybody has the heating on in the car anyway.
In Finland, yeah.
In Finland, especially. So just take off your jacket, please. It's going to make you safer and it's going to make your kid safer. There is a lot of other options, like you mentioned, Rabe, that you used.
The fleece overalls and the blanket.
Exactly. Just something that is on top of the child once the child is kind of tightened in with the straps. And this is something where kind of go to myth number four. It's that it's safe to use non-regulated aftermarket products for car seats. So what are non-regulated aftermarket products? It sounds very fancy, but it's just very basic and it means... all the different clips that you put onto the car seat straps, maybe, that you should not. All kinds of these covers that protect from the sun shields that kind of are connected directly to the car seat. Those are usually things all for these baby car seats. Mm. For the bigger car seats, they're very, very rare, but it's usually for the baby's one. And then there's also these...
foot muffs.
Genau, the foot muffs that you can kind of directly installed into the car seat. Complete no-go.
What about those that are manufactured by the same manufacturer as the car seat?
It's almost, there is none. There is none. I can tell you that straight away. There is none. Because it's just not safe, because it puts a big kind of chunky thing between the child and the car seat. And that's a no-go. Some manufacturers even say, I didn't know that. I learned that when we were potty training our older son. That not even in some seats, you shouldn't even put these doggy pads, you know, these puppy pads. Because they change the way that the child kind of sticks to the seat, kind of like this grip. It's really crazy. I never even thought of this. And I thought that I could use this because, okay, I don't want the kid to pee into the seat.
What about the summer ones that they don't stick so much?
Nothing. You're not allowed to use anything that isn't from the manufacturer.
Okay.
It's very harsh, but it is like these. And it actually says also on every car seat when you buy, do not use any aftermarket products. But people, A, usually don't read it, and B, don't care and say like, oh, it's not going to make it that bad. Why wouldn't I use it? So, and actually one thing that I can mention, and that's actually not a myth, but it came to my mind now when I'm talking about peeing onto the seat and potty training. Do not wash your car seats. If you wash your car seats, you're not allowed to use any kind of washing liquids or so. You're only allowed to use baby wipes, like the ones that don't have any kind of perfume, anything in them. That's something that I did not know, but a lot of people wash it really properly or even put it in the washing machine.
Yeah, you can take it off.
Big no-go, because it can change. The material is really, really specific. I don't know all the details, but the materials of the car seats are very specific because they also have to withstand a lot of force and crashes. And the problem is when you wash them, it can change the kind of the structure of it. And it can make the seat be less, especially the straps. The straps are super important. So the straps don't touch. If the baby pukes, wipe it a bit and that's it. It doesn't matter. Our seats are stained.
I was just about to say that the other day, or actually last year, we went to Tampere and some cake, and the child puked in the car. I did not manage yet to wash it. It was on my agenda, but maybe I just can
just wipe it. As long as it doesn't smell bad.
Yeah, I wiped it. Of course, it's fine.
So it's just the looks, and we can post on social media a picture of our straps and our seat, and you'll see how dirty it is, theoretically, like stained.
Yeah.
But do not wash it. and the last myth that I thought of was that it's. People think that it's okay to buy secondhand seats, or that it's safe. This is also a big no-go, except if you really know the person that you're buying it from. For example, if I would buy from you, Rabea, I would trust you that you tell me I did not throw the seat around, I did not crash the car with this seat in it, and so on. Because the problem with car seats is, even if it looks that it's okay, something inside can be broken, especially when in a crash. So many people think, okay, the car just bumped a little bit into me, no big deal. The car seat manufacturers actually state, and also the insurances will cover if the crash occurred with more than 10 kilometers per hour. So even if it's literally you're standing parked, your car can be parked. You don't even have to be like in it, and somebody drives into your car with more than 10 kilometers per hour, you have to exchange the seats. And in Finland, all the insurance companies are going to either exchange for the same seat that you had, or they're going to give you kind of like a voucher with the amount of money that you paid for that seat, and then you can buy a new one. That's really also important to say. But regarding secondhand, please do not buy and do not sell your car seats. It's even if you know that your car seat is okay, just don't, because it encourages people whose car seat isn't okay to sell seats. I see it really often in some groups, and I really often write there, just bring it please to the trash and cut the straps. That's really important, because unfortunately there's a lot of people who can't afford maybe car seats, and then they go looking for them on recycling sites or so, and then if the straps are cut, they can't use them, which is great.
So, question, someone who cannot afford a car seat, wouldn't it be better if she bought it secondhand than not using one at all?
Of course, that is true, but I would assume that for people that are so much in need, that there is always a possibility to find a car seat. I know there is this different expat mom and mommy groups on Facebook, and there has been several times people who have been asking about it, if somebody has, and there's always somebody that has a seat at home that is okay.
We still have the baby seat, by the way. Yeah. Not crashed, barely used.
I just today brought it to a friend of mine who has a newborn, so she can use it, and it has not been crashed.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. I really hope that I always just say that I hope that people don't take it so personally, because it's not an attack when people don't know things. I didn't know a lot of things either before I started reading about it, but it's just about keeping your kids safe, and that's what we all want.
Yeah, now we're getting to a very hot topic. Rear facing versus forward facing car seats. And maybe just a disclaimer once again that this is not an attack or blaming people. We just want to give information of what are the laws, what are the recommendations, and what is known for a fact. And I must say for myself that actually I thought pretty much until today, actually I wanted to bring this up now I'm bringing it up at this point, but I'm convinced already otherwise, that I always thought that, well, better a car seat than no car seat, you know, and if it's forward facing, it doesn't mean that the child is going to die. Though I think we have seen from the statistics in the beginning that it might actually make that big of a difference. So keep in mind that this is more about informing. And interesting fact, have you ever wondered where the rear-facing car seats come from? It's actually from the astronauts that also fly facing backwards as their rocket takes off. It's quite logic. By lying with their backs against the force of acceleration, the astronauts would be much better able to withstand it. And there was a very smart person in Sweden, actually, who used this to turn it into car seat principles.
Yeah, and that was actually back in 1963. So that's already...
Oh. Took a long time to make it even a recommendation.
Yes, exactly, which is, insane. But I wanted to start this one with also a disclaimer that I'm very heated in this kind of topic, like I mentioned before. But also what Rabea said, it's not about blaming anybody. It's just about educating people. And what you also mentioned, it made me, well, I'm really happy that I managed to, like, already change your mind, because that's one mind more and a few kids more that are going to ride safer. But what you said, are better forward-facing, there are no car seat. And I always say, if you already have a car seat, why not take the safest option? Mm. Like, why? There's no kind of reason to not do it for yourself and for your kid. And... one thing that I wanted to, like a small quote from a nonprofit that I already mentioned before, the Car Seats for the Littles, is they say that rear facing is not a choice to be made based on parenting style or opinion. It's one based on scientific fact. And I completely agree. Why do we use car seats? Because they save lives. It's not the parents' choice. Do they use car seats or not? So in this sense, the rear facing should also not be a choice until a certain age. It should just be the law.
Interesting maybe to mention why it is like that. What's the science behind it is that a small child's head is so heavy in relation to their body, it weighs about 25% of the total weight of the body, and for adults it's only 6% of the body weight. So in an accident and when withstanding this acceleration, of course, that a lot heavier head is gonna go forward or backwards, for that matter.
Exactly, and the biggest problem isn't even the weight of the head, and the body not and the head going forward, because in the forward, if you think about it, the most common crashes are that somebody crashes into you from the front. So if the child is sitting in a rear-facing position, the child will be pushed into the seat. And if it's in the front-facing position, the child will go to the front, like you go in a, when you brake suddenly, you feel the force of the seatbelt and you go forward. And the biggest problem here is that because of this 25% of the total weight of the body that the head is with the children, the child's neck muscles and ligaments are not fully developed. And also the spine is not fully connected yet until the age of about 4 to 5 years. That is the biggest problem. So when this whole force comes onto the body of an adult, it's not a big deal because A, the head is much smaller, and B, because the ligaments and all the bones are fully connected and they can resist the force. And the bodies of the child, unfortunately, can't. So in rear-facing position, the child's head and the neck, there is much less strain directed at these parts of the body. And if you just compare it, in a 50 kilometer per hour crash, so it's not even that big speed, the force that works onto the neck and spine of a forward-facing child is 300 kilograms, and it's only 50 kilograms for a rear-facing child. Mm-hmm. So it's 6 times less of a force that your child's body has to take, and it's only about if you have the car seat turned around the other way. Mm-hmm. And the other really important thing is that for a child, it only takes 6 millimeter stretch for the spine to rupture. That means for the spine to break through. And we all know what that can all mean. So it can really be a tragic end to something as easily done and easily prevented as turning the seat around.
Hmm. So it's indeed, it might mean or might make a difference between life and death, depending on how the car seat is facing the road.
Yes. One thing that I would want to mention here just shortly before we continue is we're going to write it here in the blog about different car seat safety testings. I already mentioned this one, this European standard. There are some other ones, and one that I want to mention here is the Swedish Plus test. I'm not going to go into detail, but overall, just one kind of point that I read there that I did not know until a few days ago when I was researching about this, that it actually, this PLUS test has such strict requirements that forward-facing child car seats would not be able to comply with it. And the thinking behind this test is that no child sitting in a child car seat, which is this PLUS test labeled, would sustain any serious or life-threatening injuries in any kind of collision. Mm. And that's something that I did not know. I knew that the PLUS test is very good and kind of additionally tested on higher speeds, but I did not know this. So this is something that fits here quite well because it can really save your child's life, and I think that's worth anything.
Yeah, but we found out that actually it's not about the money necessarily. That I always thought that that rear-facing car seats are just so much more expensive, and since we didn't have our own car, it didn't seem to make any sense. But we found one actually. Definitely not expensive and still in good quality, so not secondhand. One of our listeners actually had a very interesting question regarding this topic. What would you say is more dangerous? A child who is rear-facing but is hysterical throughout the car ride so that the driver isn't able to focus on the road and maybe gets into an accident because of that any given minute because he or she cannot focus? Or is it better to have a calm child that is facing forward but is calm and the driver can focus?
Yeah, this was on the first hand, it seemed like a really tough question to answer. But then, first of all, I wanted to say that I consulted this car seat safety group, which, as I already mentioned, has year-long experience and educational background on this topic. So it's not just my kind of idea on this or my suggestion. But we came kind of together to a conclusion that, first of all, the driver can't control the actions of everybody else on the road or any kind of occurrences that will occur by chance. So in this point, rear-facing is safer. The second one is that while the forward-facing may be more calling for the kid, but this would imply that the child is not happy or like hysterical because he or she is rear-facing, mm-hmm. which is an implication. It most commonly is not the case because the child is used to rephrasing and they don't even know that there is anything else. So usually the child is hysterical because of other things. And it is not true that the child can't see outside, because the children can see out, and you can have a mirror to also show the kid to the front, so to say, what's coming and so on. So this would kind of imply that the rear facing itself is causing the hysterical cry, which is very, very, the vast majority, it's not the case. And a third, what I wanted to mention is that the parent can, of course, do a risk analysis kind of based on their own ability to drive. But here, as well as the child's physical maturity. So there's a huge difference between an almost four-year-old forward-facing and a two-year-old forward-facing.
Mm.
I would keep both myself rear-facing, but then if you have this kind of hysterical child because of rear-facing, if they're two, it's just not a choice. I would not even consider it as an option. You can do many other things. You can put them in the front seat next to the driver, rear-facing, only if the airbag is off. That is, it's against the law to have a rear-facing seat in the front with the airbag on. So you can do that if you turn off the airbag. So that could already help. You could see the child could see you. It could maybe help if the problem is really the rear facing. But no matter the cause of the accident, in the end, the rear facing the child is protected, like we already mentioned before. So even if it would be that the child is crying hysterically and that you really end up in a bad accident, the child will be protected much more than in the front facing position. And then in the end, if the child is that hysterical, just stop the car, please.
Yeah.
I think that's something that any driver would do anyway, forward facing or rear facing the child.
There was something came to my mind that what could be another cause. I mean, this seems to be the conclusion quite often, that either the child is getting car sick in the rear facing car, car seat, or that they just don't like it because they don't see anything, or that they are uncomfortable because the legs seem kind of folded.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there are also a lot of other reasons why a child could be unhappy in the car seat.
First of all, the most common one is they're too hot.
Mm.
People tend to clothe the kids so much for the car seats, as much as you wear usually. And you shouldn't. Like I already mentioned, the bulky clothes, especially not. But the car seat itself, it's so freaking hot in there that I know, for example, today it was like 15 degrees outside. I had to have the kids only in a t-shirt, like a short sleeve t-shirt in the car seat, because otherwise they would be like sweating really, really badly. And of course, they get really upset. And one thing that I wanted to mention that I did not mention before, and it's really good that you mentioned it now, is regarding rear facing and the legs. So there is a few also myths about this. Firstly is that that they feel uncomfortable and that they can't find a good position, which is not true. The children can actually find. There has been a lot of studies done by also just by random parents, but also by like this car seat safety organization, especially in the US. And the children usually say that they don't even notice the difference, especially older kids. The people that are for extended rear facing, like I am, I'm going to rear face my kids until they hit the 25 kilo mark. So that can be maybe when they're 6 years old. Mm. And secondly, that people say, in a crash, if the legs are like that, the legs will break. I always say I'd rather have my kids break their legs than their neck, first of all. Yeah. And second of all, it's very unlikely. And there has been actually no scientific proof or any kind of proof that this would happen, that the legs would break more commonly in rear facing car seats. So both of these things are not the reason that you would put the child forward facing before they're ready.
Mm. I also read that it's good to check when a child is really unhappy in the car seat, to check if there's maybe anything that the child brought needles from the trees from outside, and they are somehow uncomfortable because there's something sticking out of the car seat, especially when they cannot talk yet and cannot really point to why they are uncomfortable. It gets much easier, of course, once they can talk. I found also
exactly. And I think like you said, just check first if your child is really hysterical. If it's a smaller child, they usually get used to it. There's always children who have phases. Our kids had it as well. Sometimes the phase that for weeks they wouldn't want to drive in the car calmly. They would just scream and so on. But if the child is hysterical, please check first everything else before putting them forward facing. Because even if you turn them around or get a new seat, it can be that it's still going to be hysterical and still don't like it and still get hot in the seat or whatever else it was the problem. So the rear facing isn't always the enemy here.
So let's play this out. My baby grew out of the baby car seat and I go to the store or I browse the internet because I want to buy a new car seat and the choice is overwhelming. I've been there, done that, and sometimes you just don't know what to do or what to decide for. So what are the things that I need to pay attention to besides that it's rear facing?
So first of all, before you either go to store or buy it online, check first the safety tests. As I mentioned before, there's already some explanation and links in the blog here about the different tests. And there you can already kind of narrow down your search with that. Second, don't buy a seat because it looks nice or is cheap. The looks nice, like, oh, this seat comes in pink, so I really need this one and not the other one because it's, I don't know, gray. Don't do that because it won't save your kid. And the kids don't care if the seat is pink or blue or whatever.
Oh, you
and even if they care, they will not know that the seat could have come in pink. So yeah, the cheap one, I think Rabea mentioned that already, that there is really, really good or great options for this extended rear facing seats, but also for other seats that are not expensive, but they're actually safer than others. I can give it as an example. When we bought the car seat for our older son back in the day, when I did not know about this extended rear facing, and we bought one that is up to 18 kilograms with ISOFIX. And it had this really cool function that you can swivel the seat. So you can turn around the seats towards you when you put the baby in, and then you just kind of turn it around into the rear facing or forward facing position. We paid 600 euros. The seat that we have now, that is one of the best plus tested seats that there is on the market, cost 250 euros. So the much safer seat cost us much less than half the price of the fancy seat. So you don't need fancy, you just need safe. The third one that is, like you mentioned, okay, besides rear facing, but I would say please rear face at least until your child is 18 kilos. That's like, for me, the bare minimum. Even though here comes the problem where 18 kilos for some kids means
3 years
old, and for some kids it means 5 years old. So it's also a big difference, but I would say just use your common sense and listen to what we said previously in the episode. And the last point that I wanted to make, if you're looking for a seat because you think it's going to be cheaper if you buy these combo seats, there's these seats, I think it's called group 0, 1, 2, 3, where the seat goes from 0 kilos to 36 kilos or something like that, like 0 to 12 years. Please don't buy those. Usually in this size group, the seats aren't a good fit or as safe as if you would have separate ones. And they're also not always cheaper. So, and like I said, don't save money on the car seat. Rather save money on something else if you need to, but don't do it with the car seat, please. We will include on the blog a short kind of summary of all of this, kind of what things to look after and so on. And also kind of these groups and age groups and sizes, when you could go from which seat to the next kind of level, so to say. But the one thing that I also wanted to mention, because there is also a lot of parents hopefully listening to this episode that already have a child that is, for example, 4 or 5 years old, and they're thinking, okay, when do I put the child from a forward-facing seat with the harness? So the harness is the 5-point belt that is integrated in the child car seat. When do we move the child to a booster seat? Booster seat are the seats that that either have a back, so that's the normal booster, or the backless booster, then for even older kids, where the child uses the car's belt, safety belt, and not the harness anymore. So there is also, of course, minimum requirements, but I will not talk about these because those can be found online, and those are also not the safe options. But before moving the child to a booster seat, your child should at least be 5 years old. That's the bare minimum. The problem is that the child has to be responsible enough to sit properly 100% of the time, even while sleeping. And sitting properly means really sitting in a very upright position. Like, not even us adults sit in a car properly 100% of the time, unfortunately. So especially with this thing with the sleeping part, usually the children are ready more when they're 6 or 7 years old. And just keep them in the harness. There's literally no reason not to keep them in it.
Unless it's too short. But
We will check that out later. Because I cannot. Rabea has had some issue with her car seat, and I will check it out after recording this one. But yeah, so whatever you do, just don't go with the bare minimum safety measures that are usually the ones written on the seats. Those shouldn't be your guidelines. The guidelines should be the Finnish recommendations, which are great, which say rear face unleashed until they're 4, and after that wait that they're really ready for the booster, and then continue to have them in the car seats until they're 150 centimeters.
Yeah, thank you, Eleonora, so much for all these insights. That's already it for today. We hope you all learned something new or learned something important for you, and that we managed to explain why this car seat safety is so important, even in today's world where cars are safer than ever. Have a nice week. Bye.
Bye-bye.